Rectangular constraints to discuss things with you, often things we know nothing of. As always, I'm joined by my pals, Allison and Chris, both excellent people. I will not box them in with titles. They are beyond boxing, except for in the context of a video podcast, in which case they are very boxed. Glad you joined us.
Woo!
That's all I got.
This is episode 1001001.
Wait, say that again.
1001001.
I feel like
I feel like we started something that we can't finish.
Yeah. Oh, we can finish.
Oh no, we'll finish it.
Yeah, we can definitely deliver.
We'll have a buffer overflow.
It's not hard to increment binary. It's just hard to count in binary.
It's hard to keep track of. Yeah.
And verbalize.
Yeah.
If we miss a week, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So what's up, y'all?
It's autumn.
Yeah.
Legit autumn. You can't tell, but it is. Let us tell you.
It's rained a couple times, and it was chilly this morning. I'll tell you how chilly it was. How chilly was it?
It was this chilly. Look at this leaf.
Wow. This morning... Okay, it was 70 degrees.
Yeah.
I took the dog.
There's no more weather reports from your side of the world anymore.
As is my custom, I put on pants, no shirt. If it hasn't been raining, no shoes. And I put the leash on the dog and we go outside for a few minutes before he eats breakfast. Usually around 6 o'clock, 6:30, somewhere in that range. So this is the time of year where I'm never sure if I need to grab a jacket to throw on.
Jacket.
Shirtless self. Well, it's like a sip-up sweater hoodie thing. Or whether I just, like, deal with it, you know? And a couple days ago, I went out, and it was chilly. It was, like, in the 60s, which, you know, without a shirt on, it's a little chilly. I also have this thing where, I mean, it's Florida, so, like, the shirt thing is not big a deal. But my next-door neighbor, I feel like whenever I go outside without a shirt on, like, I feel like he has to be doing something. Like, he must think I don't own very many shirts because he sees me shirtless more often than he sees me with a shirt on.
But again, it's like, Florida. That feels like a real natural thing.
Our neighbor across the street at our old house, we nicknamed him Shirtless Man because literally if he was outside, he had no shirt. Like, that's just a thing. And him, he's the type of dude that like actually, like, I mean, I don't know about you, your physical, your training regimen, but he actually like works out on a regular basis. You know, he's got stuff and like, okay. So at the time, for a really long time, there's a gay bar across the street. Apparently the owner of the bar had talked to him and said, like, we love what you're doing. Don't stop. Keep not wearing a shirt.
Just keep being you.
Yeah, keep doing you. I one time saw him. You know those jiggle weights?
Yes.
You know those jiggle weights that are like a joke?
Oh, no.
So his window, he had these big windows, these big bay windows that like looked like our window. We also have big windows, had big windows that looked straight into his big windows. And I watched him once like through our window into his window doing the jiggle weight.
I've never seen someone do it in seriousness.
I've never seen it either. I've only ever seen it as a joke.
We had when we first were married, we had a shirtless neighbor as well.
This is Utah. I mean, in the summer, yes, shirtless man. But like, I mean, when it starts getting cold, like shirts are a thing. Currently, for reference, you said it was what, 70?
Yes.
So currently, right now, it's 32 degrees Fahrenheit and clear. What? And feels like 29 degrees. Low today will be 30 degrees and high is 57.
You're shooting, really? 57. It's freezing?
Yeah.
Look how surprised you are. That's why we were like, it's legit autumn.
Yeah, it's
that's not autumn. That's like the throes of winter hell.
No, it's not.
That's
winter's colder.
It is a baby step on the way to winter.
Yeah.
I would love to move somewhere else. But I don't have the constitution for it.
No, because then you have to put like little weird boots on your dog for starters. Your dog's not gonna take that.
Well,
I mean, if it makes you feel better, tomorrow is gonna get all the way up to 62.
Woo! This winter will just be all of us comparing various weather.
Let me map up to Toronto.
WordCamp US is coming up.
Indeed.
In
it's
going to
be colder than Florida.
I looked the other day and it was like 55 in St. Louis and decided that
warm.
Was the canonical temperature in St. Louis. But now I feel like I need to look again before I travel there because it's probably not going to be 55.
I know. Don't pull what you have typically done from the sounds of most of your stories where you arrive in like t-shirt and shorts and you're just like, Gary's here!
It's cold! Like, what the hell?
You know what we
in my
usually,
more formal days it was khaki pants and a t-shirt
what,
or maybe
what we
like
usually
a
do what we usually do when we're going shirt. Places is you Google median weather and whatever city, and then you can see what the average temperatures are at various months of the year. So the median temperature, the median high in St. Louis in November is 56 and the median low is 38. So your afternoon high temperature will be like mid 50s,
because it's been
and the low temperatures the night overnight is not going to be freezing. So it's going to be warm for me. Well, it'll probably be actually pretty much the same.
Because it's been
chilly. I mean, it's hoodie weather regardless that we're camp US.
For sure. Yep.
Because it's been chilly like the 60s recently. I have not had the air conditioner on. So like in this front room, we're at an angle. So I get the sun beating in here. It's currently 79.5 degrees where I'm broadcasting from. And that, I mean, it's great. It's great. It may even heat up a half a degree during the podcast because the sun is behind clouds. So I, in the afternoon, I actually have to close the curtains in this window because it gets a little uncomfortable when it gets to like 85.
I'm looking at this weather map and I realize that I have no actual idea where Toronto is located. Like I found Montreal, I found Quebec, I found Halifax. I'm like, wait, it's
okay,
gotta
be like,
up in this, it's gonna be up in this area somewhere.
Yeah, we're a bit more west. We're on Lake Ontario.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that.
So if you find Ottawa,
there you are. Okay. Yeah, there you are.
You just overshot a bit.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were. Well, you are right next to New York. There's New York right there. I guess I went too far. Too far east.
Yeah, because there's definitely like states that are farther north than Toronto.
For some reason, my geography, my mental geography of the United States is really bad. I at least know where the states are. But like getting into cities, like I often like just things don't make sense. So like my mental geography of Canada is even worse because I thought that Montreal was on the other side of Toronto.
I feel like you probably both have the same thing that I got growing up in Florida, right? You grew up in California. So like you grew up like at the very edge of the map, which meant you didn't have to know the middle section very well.
Sure.
There's these middle states and like New Mexico
I was like
and
that.
Kansas and Utah and Wyoming are all sort of the same area.
I knew west to Utah and maybe to Colorado. But like if you asked me what was south of Colorado, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I still. I mean, I guess
part of me was like, I will challenge myself.
South of Colorado would be what? Is that like New Mexico?
South of Colorado would be Mexico. We're building the wall. Remember?
I knew where
it's actually New Mexico, but
the Four Corners, like beyond.
Yeah,
that's
part of Four Corners. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, what are the Four Corners? It's New Mexico. It's Colorado.
Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, and Utah.
Okay, I was going to throw a crazy one in there, like New Hampshire.
Like Nevada or something?
Yeah, well, Nevada.
Nevada's got a weird point that, like, doesn't match up with other things.
Yeah.
No, I always like that about cities in California, though, or like areas of California. Like, I knew the Bay Area, and I knew like East Bay, like Oakland, Berkeley, that stuff. And I knew like Los Angeles is down there somewhere. But like, you asked me like where Irvine is, and I'm like, oh, that's north somewhere.
Right. That's good.
Like somewhere between San Francisco and Sacramento, maybe.
This is perfect because I know the southern part. So with our powers combined.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because I'm just like, great, Orange County. I know.
Like, just like everything that was not in the Bay Area was just somewhere in Southern California.
Yeah. So like in the case of a like zombie apocalypse, right? The three of us combined can travel California and I can protect us from killer wildlife.
Protect us from the zombies, obviously. I had a dream about zombies last night. That's really weird that you brought that. Also, it's really weird that I had a dream about zombies, but
I don't think either one of those is weird. I think they're frightening when combined.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you're dreaming about them. There is something coming with zombies. Watch out. Mark my words.
Yeah, it was actually not a very pleasant dream. I woke up and
what is our topic today?
Yeah. Something that's not involving zombies.
Oh god,
does it
not be involving zombies? She's like, well, it's not that or that.
I have to go down the list of all the zombie-related topics and go to the next column. The topic today is peduncle.
What?
Peduncle.
Yeah.
That's not a real word.
It is. It is a card game that you learned from your grandfather.
Wait,
only from your grandfather. It has to come from.
I mean, it's not like a specific game. It's like a game that he teaches you, like an old-timey game. Like, oh, I was over. He taught me a peduncle today. Like, that's, you know? Like, what game was it? Like, I don't know. Like, I'll never play it again. Peduncle. It's just one of those weird card games that old people know.
Spell it for me, please.
P-E-D-U-N-C-L-E.
Huh. Well.
Yeah, that's definitely
uncle you don't invite to family gatherings, I suppose.
That's definitely game related. yeah. It's either a card game, like you said, like peduncle. It's like a variation.
I feel like this is one we can figure out from the word. A peduncle is a situation where your uncle is younger than you are.
No.
If that were the actual, because I'm just we need a word for that situation.
Right. I think a peduncle is a particular maneuver. It's a particular maneuver in a sport where you do a fake in one direction and the person falls over.
Yeah.
And this could apply in a variety of sports. I've seen it in soccer. I imagine it could happen in football or basketball. You kind of
ultimate
do a fake.
Frisbee.
Ultimate frisbee, you do a fake in one direction and they go in that direction and then you move and then they try to move and they fall over on their face. That's a peduncle. You made him peduncle.
No, that's not.
Yeah.
The only reason it can't be that is because I can see that in every sport except for basketball. No one that plays basketball would ever utter the phrase peduncle.
Well, I mean, it's the phrase is there. It describes that thing.
That's the announcer.
Whether or not it actually is used is another thing. And probably it would only ever be used in soccer because we already have really stupid words for things in soccer. Like when you kick a ball through someone's leg, it's a nutmeg. Because it goes through his nuts, I guess.
With nutmeg, that at some point I was using it to describe something to a friend and I had this moment of like, is this something that like my family has like, because it was like one of those flashback moments where I'm like, have I only ever heard this within my family bubble? And is this a real word that like other people are using? Because I was just like, I just couldn't remember hearing an announcer say it or like, and I was like, oh no, is this just one of those weird gotchas that my family has played on me?
Yeah, that's now one in my of those 20s. Things. Yeah, and you're like, golly, kids are gullible. Shit, I was gullible.
And I was like, oh no, that's me.
Yeah, so what you do now that you know that nutmeg exists, is when you have kids, because that's going to happen, right? I know it's not. you tell your kids, or maybe your nieces and nephews,
niece.
when you're describing nutmegs, you call it a peduncle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, look at that peduncle. That peduncle is amazing. And then she'll grow up thinking that the word for that is peduncle and not nutmeg.
I like this. I like where this is going.
I mean, you could really honestly use peduncle to describe just about anything.
Yeah. That's good.
A peduncle, we need a code context. A peduncle is when you have a commit that is nothing but white space changes.
No. No, a peduncle is a hand in cards where all of your cards are completely worthless. Oh. So it's like a 2, a 4, a 3, a 7, and a like 8 or something non-sequential and like unrelated and no pairs of anything. That's a peduncle, just a crappy hand. Although I feel like we actually had that as a topic in a previous episode. And it was not a peduncle, it was something else.
I feel like we're getting close. We have the idea that it is like something that happens in competition, but obviously it is something that happens in golf, because golf already has ridiculous names for things.
That's true.
I do so, like mulligan.
Yeah.
Of a fake out in golf, and then somebody falls over.
Yeah, it's when you go to take a swing, and then you're like, oh, psych, just kidding. You thought I was going to hit that ball, but I didn't. What? That's a peduncle.
Now I'm looking back and trying to figure out what
episode that was. Yeah,
episode.
It's on the tip of my brain. And
I mean, honestly, like any of these things could be it.
No, not. It'll pop out in a minute.
Dunnert, you'll maybe. I don't know.
What is it?
Dunnert, maybe.
No, a Dunnert was a measurement, wasn't it?
I can't. I mean, honestly,
boy, you know what we need? We need a year-end show where we go through and see how much of this stuff we remember.
Probably none. That would be a good idea. Yeah. Before
that's
the end.
I don't know. Just look at me. I don't know either.
Yeah.
Some of them are so much more easy to remember because it'll pop up and, well, like yes. For me, like that stuff that's popped up in my actual life. So, which is bizarre. I don't know what kind of life I'm leading over here, but.
Jason Sphere.
I know what an aglet is.
Yeah.
All right. We're not doing that episode right now. We'll do that episode at some point in the future. I will compile a list of the most obscure things that we have talked about, the things that I don't know, at least. And then
I think you just start from day one or episode one. We just
that's a lot.
Through.
That's
the episode will just be called "Things We Still Don't Know."
But some of them will go, "Oh yeah, I remember that."
And, I mean, we're at this will be. Episode 70, so that would be a lot to go through if we went from day one.
Good for us. Good for us knowing some things.
Yeah. Hey, I feel like if we picked up like about 20 out of those 70, this has been super valuable. Yeah.
I will remember Latham Loop or Latham Loop because I do actually remember that was something that I did learn about in film class. Because we were using 8mm, 8mm and 16mm. Well, we were using 8mm for the films that we made my first film class. And he brought in like a 16mm projector. And so he was like, and this is the Latham. I don't think he described why it was called that.
The true gold here, though, is really the long game, because like 5 years from now, one of these terms will pop up, and then you'll just know.
I mean, petrichor. Like,
you might not. You'll know it more than someone else, basically. And
petrichor has been the thing.
Yeah. Yep. Peduncle.
And Dyson sphere, but not in a good way. Peduncle. Peduncle.
That's the one you're going
to have to find. It's when your uncle is crossing the street. He's a peduncle.
Like here comes your uncle, peduncle.
Yeah, peduncle. That's ridiculous.
It's kind of sour.
It's definitely, it's a peduncle. Peduncle is one of those words that you use to describe like something that's just like confusing or frustrating or what? like you're in a pickle, like, it's a peduncle. It's a Midwest thing.
Yes.
It's definitely a Midwest. It's like, oh, it's you're in a peduncle.
It's a cross between a pickle and a conundrum.
Yeah. Peduncle.
I feel like this is one of those words that we need a new word. We need a word for when you find a definition of a word and it's not what you expect. I feel like this is going to be one of those. Peduncle is going to be something highly scientific and like, you know, we're treating it like some kind of like know, country slang or something. And it's going to be something super scientific and nerdy. And we're going to be like, oh, and we need a word to define that. When something is a word, the definition isn't what a word sounds like.
So like the definition is more complex or scientific, nuanced. than the word would lend the impression of.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a peduncle.
It's not a peduncle. Because a peduncle is the thing that they use in the Large Hadron Collider to like translate from where the things crash into each other and explode to observable stuff.
Observable.
What does the collider do? I forgot. It crashes. Photons, not photons.
Based on the name, atoms. I would assume it would make things collide with each other.
Largely. Bigly.
I just love how rubbish humans are at naming things, though. But like, because like peduncle is a real thing that I'll explain at some point. But like, but also like the.
But also, this was my greatest fear. I would have a show with him, and Allison's internet's just going to go out. We're going to be like, what is a peduncle? And that's going
to
be it.
And you won't be able to Google it?
I suppose we could, but that's against the show regulations.
At least
I feel like if my internet goes out and I disappear off the face of the earth because of the zombie apocalypse, because obviously they'll be coming from the North Pole downwards, I'll be hit first.
Yeah, because winter is coming. That's where all the zombies go.
Rhonda and the kids will get home. I'll be like, grab your go bags. We gotta go collect Allison and head to Southern California.
I mean, as far as I know, there is a big ice wall like somewhere in the northern part of Canada that's keeping all the White Walkers back.
Yeah, that's true. That's a true fact.
That ice wall on the border,
and that white wall is called
a peduncle.
According to Game of Thrones lore.
Well. Have we reached the point where we can find out what a peduncle is?
What if that was really it? What if that was my grand reveal and you just didn't even accept it?
I hope it's not.
No, okay.
I mean, we could. We've got some questions that we could jump to. We could
get I have several questions.
I mean, yeah, there's that too.
There's always follow-up questions. Okay, yes. So a peduncle is another word for a stem.
No,
especially on certain kinds of plants like
It's not.
See, the peduncle. Yeah,
Gary is right. Gary
is
right.
It's a pumpkin peduncle. Oh, I love this so
like
much
this
because
pumpkin
we are
has a particularly nice peduncle.
We are super involved with our pumpkin patch locally. In fact, that's where Ron and the kids are today, and helped unload like 1,200 pumpkins when the truck showed up. Pumpkins in Florida are not great because it is
too hot.
Well, yes. So they tend to get gross and melt. Yeah. So you have to like shovel nasty pumpkins as part of like patch maintenance. So of the 1,250, I have no idea how many end up being sold, but there are probably several hundred that don't survive the season. And the season is 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
But one of the things that we are told is you cannot pick a pumpkin up by the stem. But I feel like it'd be much more fun to say, don't pick a pumpkin up by the peduncle.
Yeah.
It would be more fun. Yeah, no, so Gary's right. Gary wins this episode by thinking that peduncle is something that is more scientific than the word sounds.
25 binary jazz points redeemable for nothing. I win.
A technical botany term, although apparently when I was digging it can also be used for like other anatomy but in like certain vertebrae, but I wasn't able to land in a concrete example, and I think pumpkins are much better. So
does it have anything to do with like what it's used for, like a stem on a pumpkin is used like connecting to the vine to get like nutrients from the
yes.
I mean, that's part of the plant, Gary. You know how plants grow, right? Like
to get their nutrients?
I mean
could one posit that an umbilical cord is a peduncle?
Maybe. I'm sure there's some extra
like
I'm sure there's
I
some
mean,
extra
who am I to stop you?
Thing that would know better than I.
I feel like an umbilical cord is kind of self-descriptive.
I think it is what it is. But it's a similar idea, but the peduncle is on a certain kind of, it's usually like squash and gourds. So it's like that certain kind where it's just like one flower and there's no growth on the stem or peduncle itself.
I feel like cord is a deceptive word for the umbilical hose. Because
umbilical peduncle, perhaps.
I like that, rolls off the tongue.
Doesn't it?
Well, it's better than phloem bundle.
That's true. That is true. Because I think of a cord, and I think that there's like a common terminator at either end. When you refer to a cord, you know what the ends look like. So you can I've got an extra umbilical cord, you can borrow it. But you know what the terminators look like to plug in. And that is not the case in umbilical cord. Like it's pretty custom made for each end and each thing involved. Human and the fetus, right? Like it's not like an off-the-shelf cord you could just grab a replacement for.
I really
appreciate it. You happen to get a kink in it. It's not.
I mean, I think when you're talking about biology and cords in like living things,
yep,
you're not gonna be using the like types of cords you pick up off the shelf in an electronic store as the comparison there.
Yeah. So it's also not like a bundle of wires, which, you know, cords generally are. Like, it's a hose. It's a couple series of hoses. And there's some electrical stuff happening as well. But, like, there's got to be a better word than cord. It's not, it doesn't respect the item enough to describe it adequately what it is.
I would posit.
It's doing a lot of work. I think peduncle would be better.
I would posit that the term cord to describe something that connects two pieces of electronics to different things.
Yes.
Is a term that is derived from the word cord that came from like corded rope or umbilical, like cords in your body. Cause there's more than just the umbilical cord in a body.
I know.
So I think that those things that came out of that instead of the other way around. I would suggest that the technical like electronics analogy came later, perhaps.
Yeah. Feel free to suggest it, but it's almost 2020. Let's fix this phrasing.
I do appreciate the conversation of what an umbilical cord is not. Of like, it is not a bunch of wires.
Fact.
Fact. These are the cold hard facts that we provide.
You came here for an education. You just didn't know what kind you were going to get.
I didn't know what you were showing up for.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, we left everyone in a peduncle there.
It's a real peduncle.
Boy, did we. I don't know.
Yeah.
And with that roaring
seasonal closing. Topic ending.
If peanut butter wasn't called peanut butter, what would it be called?
Squash. Peanut spread.
Peanut vomit, perhaps.
Ew. Peanut corpses.
I mean, so there's a lot of Aaron and the kids went to the state fair a couple months ago, and they went to this honey booth thing, like beekeeper, like natural honey, and there's this whole big thing, and I think they had bees and thing. And they were talking all about bees and keeping bees and whatever. And there was a lot of literature and discussion about honey not being bee vomit. Like, they made a point in more than one thing to describe honey as not being bee vomit.
I definitely, because when I'm eating,
people like, think that honey is bee vomit, no, which is not a thing that I ever thought.
It's clearly bee feces.
Yeah, that's not a thing that I ever thought, but apparently other people do.
That's weird.
But
that's weird.
In
I also
context,
feel like if you're trying to sell a food, I would avoid the word vomit. Just
right.
It's a general rule of thought.
Even if you're like, this is not that.
Right.
Don't say the word.
Yeah. Why did you feel the need to say that? Like.
So in that context, bee vomit is more as a more. Vomit. Bee vomit is a more closely resembles the thing that it actually is than peanut vomit would be if peanut butter was called peanut vomit.
Yeah.
Peanut smush.
Yeah, peanut smush would be pretty nice. Peanut spread just
peanut jam.
Like it's not
peanut jam.
Peanut jam.
Peanut jam. I like it.
Peanut preserves, perhaps. It's not really preserved.
No, peanut jam is good. I like that.
There we go.
Would you like jam. Some peanut jam? Peanut jam and jam.
PJ&J, yeah. Sweet.
Well, we've rebranded that. What's next?
Yep. Next.
You're just knocking it out today. Nice work, people.
If you were held at gunpoint and told to dance, what dance move would you bust out first? Bonus points to act for actually doing it.
The frightened weeping white guy.
The frightened weeping white guy.
For those of you not watching, I just busted out with the wave, which is when you move your arms in the wavy thing.
Oh, sadly you can't see it, but I'm doing the worm.
I think you just ducked down below your desk.
I think you're right.
I call BS.
I think you're right. I'd probably do like the MC Hammer fist pump or something.
That count as a dance move? I feel like that's a like.
No, what's the MC Hammer thing? Where you do like the step.
The sideways step thing?
I can't touch this?
That sure. thing? I don't know.
Binary.
I know that it has a name.
Last time, everybody.
Panic.
I feel like I usually default to like Running Man or some sort of.
Or the grab your leg and.
Or some sort of dance from The Breakfast Club. That seems to be like my go-to.
Definitely like the invisible cast of the fishing rod towards the person holding a gun at me and reeling them in.
Stopping.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the disco
shot? Point
thing. The disco stew, I believe it's called, yeah.
Disco stew.
So basically, we're all great to get out on the dance floor is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. None of those are actual dance moves that I'd actually do if I was really dancing.
No, but like at the drop of a hat, like when you just have to come up with something.
Yeah, because I feel like in that case, you kind of have to like do a move.
Just perform. Like,
like a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently my dance vocabulary is larger than Gary's. So I win that round.
Oh, 22 Binary Jazz dollars.
I like the idea of like a Binary Jazz general store where you can like go in and cash in, but like all the things are completely meaningless.
Like you can just buy yourself a peduncle.
Yeah. A three-leaf clover. Yeah. It's not quite good for anything.
There we go.
Nine M&Ms. Lightly used. What does that even mean?
Like somebody put them in their mouth and then spit them back out. Your niece came over and she like got all the red M&Ms and then she decided she didn't like them, so she sucked off the coloring, and so now they're white, and then she spit them out in a bowl, and so now you have a bunch of white M&Ms.
Melts in a mouth, not in your hand.
Sounds like hand batched artisanal pre-eaten M&Ms.
Yep. Yeah. Oof. I mean, it gets the that means the shell is thinner, right? So that's probably nice for someone who thinks that the M&M's shell is too thick.
Yeah. Somewhere out there, there's a rich person who's paying somebody to do that for them.
I hope not.
You can most assuredly bet it's happening.
What four movies would you give someone to explain your taste or personality? Are they different than your top four movies?
Oh.
This is a good one. I almost feel like, well, we've got 5 minutes. Okay. High Fidelity.
Wait, is this the first category of like movies to explain yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. High Fidelity.
War Games.
Are you looking at a shelf? Is that what's happening right
now?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. War Games. Apollo 13.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I haven't watched that in a while.
Napoleon Dynamite, but Napoleon Dynamite only because I've been living in Utah for as long as I have.
Oh, just that's an interesting note.
I feel like that explains
the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Oh, Life Aquatic. Okay.
Yeah. So there are my four. War Games, Apollo 13, What About Bob, and the Life Aquatic.
So, yeah, High Fidelity, So I Married an Axe Murderer,
Napoleon Dynamite,
And I want to say that there should be like a rom-com or something in there.
So I married an axe murderer?
Yeah, I guess that qualifies.
I feel like
it?
That counts.
Yeah, I guess it does. I mean, I kind of feel like we can't leave out my most favorite movie, which is Future Sport.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But then, like for your top four, it's like what gets bumped out? What's good?
I feel like my top four would be totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My top four would be all space movies.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So
wait, I mean, what are your top what movies are both good and space related?
All of them that are space related. First off, The Martian would make the list. Gravity's really good. What have I watched recently? The Right Stuff is really fantastic. And First Man, that'd be my list of top fours at the moment. And they might change position. It's not really ordered position.
No, it's just like a general.
That's what I'm going to watch this weekend. Thanks for asking.
Top four movies.
Jeez, I might have to play one in the background today. Yeah.
So.
First Man, that was good.
These movies always have good soundtracks. As far as like epic-y soundtracks generally.
I didn't see Gravity in theaters in 3D, and I wish I had. But I've seen it in enough times that my palms don't sweat when I watch it anymore. But it's one of those movies that I can't turn it on and then not become engaged in. Like it sucks me in every time. There's just so much beauty.
Is that with
in
George
the,
Clooney?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So I feel like trying to name my top four movies is like brings out my high fidelity like side, because like yeah. I don't know that I have a top four. I could have like a top four for like this like yeah. mood or this theme yeah. or like top four movies that I would show to someone who hasn't seen them or
day.
Something like
yeah,
top
yeah.
four I'll movies get. Top four movies that you probably haven't ever heard of like top four
Maybe
movies
top
when you
four,
want to crack
top
up
movies top four movies for when you're playing hooky from work on an autumn day.
Top four movies for playing hooky. Okay, got it.
Well, I would have to put Star Wars in the mix, so I'd have to bump something for Star Wars.
Okay, so Six String Samurai is definitely on that list. Six String Samurai, Google it, it's awesome. Six String Samurai, Mean Guns. I think that, what else? Office Space and Clue. Would be my top four movies for playing hooky on an autumn day. Nailed it.
Six.
See, the thing is, I struggle with the four movies to explain myself and my top four movies, because like I feel like I have to include something like Labyrinth to explain myself. Then I'm not saying like it's not a top four movie.
Right.
Sure.
Like, it's like I both understand that, but also I'm like, oh, but I need to include it to explain myself.
Right, yeah.
Like who I am. Oh, the Clue. I didn't even think about that.
Six String Samurai looks amazing.
It is. It's freaking amazing. It is the best thing ever. And it's the thing that exposed me to the awesome band, the Red Elvises, who we then actually saw perform live in concert in Salt Lake City. The Red Elvises, which is a Russian, like, psychobilly band.
The world is
a real thing.
I'll never understand.
Both Russian psychobilly and just psychobilly in general, both yeah. very real things.
My world
and they did the soundtrack of Six String Samurai.
I'm so sheltered and protected.
I have a copy of Six String Samurai. I can, loan it to you.
Here you go. Amazon.
The true reason for world
can I rent it?
Dress is
no,
just
to
lend it. Movie.
I can get a used copy for $3.
There you go. It's worth it.
Yeah, I'll do
it's worth
that
all three.
How old is it? Like, what year was it made?
98.
Yeah, I was going to say late 90s. Yeah. It's amazing.
I feel like so, a bunch of stuff was just added to my list. Of like,
it's an action movie. It's a kung fu action movie set in a post-apocalyptic. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.